Isaiah chapter 30. Now, this is all about not trusting in Egypt. Now, at the time of Hezekiah and Isaiah, they were all tempted to trust in Egypt. Isaiah was saying, look, trust in God, he'll save you from the Assyrians. But they thought, nah, we want the Egyptians to come and help us. So, O you stubborn children, says Yahweh, you have plans which are not mine. You're making alliances, but not by my spirit, and so you are sinning upon sinning. In other words, once you start going down that road of trusting in the flesh, it just goes from one thing to another. So, Egypt, what do you think Egypt represents?
The world.
Yeah, the world. The world, the flesh, etc. So, they set out to go down to Egypt without asking my advice. They want to take refuge in the protection and shadow of Egypt and Pharaoh. So it's as if Isaiah is sort of zoomed in. It's like he's a cameraman and he's zoomed in on these messengers of Judah as they set out from Judah, probably with their food and presents for the Egyptians on their donkeys as they set out to go to Egypt. And God notices that. You just see that God really does see and know all things. So they didn't ask exactly for, they didn't have a prayer before they went, as it were, as we might when we go on a long journey, because they knew this was not of the flesh. So you need to ask yourself, can I ask God to bless me on the journey I'm about to take? If it's to a bad place, how can you? And he says that you're going to seek refuge and shelter in Egypt's shadow. Well, in the Psalms, David keeps saying that, I flee to you, O God, and I take refuge under the shadow of your wings. And he's alluding to the cherubim that were over the Ark of the Covenant, the box of the covenant. And David felt that he was actually living beneath the shadow of God's wings with the angels all around him. And yet these people were fleeing not to God, as David did, but fleeing to Egypt and Pharaoh to take refuge and seek shelter under the shadow of Egypt. Now, finally, God does save Judah from the Assyrians, because just one angel, and the angels are a bit connected with the cherubim, just one angel goes out and in one night kills 185,000. So, it just shows that even though they didn't trust in God, generally, in his angelic protection, yet he looked after them. Pharaoh's protection and Egypt's shadow will become your shame. And it will turn out that his officials at Zoan and his envoys will come to Harnes, but there is going to be a terrible destruction. They are a people that cannot benefit you. There is no help or profit in Egypt, but only shame and disgrace. Now, that is so hard to believe, because people think, but no, if I forget about God and give up on all this God stuff and focus on my career and my making of money, I could buy this fantastic house, have this fantastic holiday car and clothing and jewelry and all this stuff. And yet, God says that will in the end be to your shame and disgrace. Maybe not in this life, but when Jesus comes back, that's when the time of shame and disgrace are going to happen. So then, there is now a prophecy about the animals of the Negev. Well, why would we suddenly have a prophecy about animals in the Negev? Well, the Negev is the desert that's, as it were, between Egypt and Judah. And so these messengers that we've been told about who are setting off on their journey from Judah to Egypt without asking for God's blessing or guidance, with their donkeys, maybe camels, full of presents for the Egyptians and food for their journey, well, they're going to be passing through the Negev. And so this is a prophecy about the Negev. Through a land of trouble, dryness and distress, where lions and roaring lions are, where there's no water, a land of very quick darting snakes, They carry their riches on the backs of donkeys and their treasures on the humps of camels to a nation that cannot help them, to Egypt, who gives help that is absolutely useless. And therefore she shall be called the Rahab who does nothing. Go now, write this down on a tablet in the presence of the people. Inscribe it on a scroll, so that for times to come this may be a witness forever, that they are a rebellious people, deceitful children, who refuse to hear Yahweh's instruction. They say to their prophets and to their seers, do not see visions, don't tell us visions of what is right. Instead, tell us things that we want to hear. Get out of the way, get out of the path, and stop telling us to go the way of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, this is what the Holy One of Israel says, because you reject this message, and you trust in those who are oppressors, and rejoice in it, and rely upon them, therefore, this sin will become for you like a breach in a very tall wall that is now bulging out and is about to collapse, and which will crash suddenly in a moment. When it breaks, it will be like potter's vessels that are broken, shattered into little fragments, so that not even one broken little slither will be found. For this is what Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in repentance and trust can you be saved. In staying calm and trusting in me will be your strength, but you refused. So, they were being told, do not go to Egypt for help. But yes, we are going to do this. They did just the same with Jeremiah later on. And so this is how people are. God pleads with them through his word, and yet people do not want to listen. They do not want to know. That's the trouble. Instead, you said, no, but we will escape on horses. Therefore, you will flee away. You said, we will flee on very swift animals. Therefore, those who pursue you will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. Even 5 of your enemies will make all of you run away, until you're left like a flagpole without a flag on the top of a hill. Well, this is what God had said, that if you break the covenant, this is what will happen. 5 of you will, 1,000 of you will be chased by just 5 of your enemies. And so this is what they'd done. They thought that human strength could help them, just as we do. And now it's no good waiting till it's too late, until you just, it's just too late and you're suffering for your sins. But rather, do we need to believe that God is all-powerful and almighty right now? Nevertheless, God's grace is absolutely amazing. Nevertheless, Yahweh will wait so that he can be gracious to you. And thus he will rise up to show you mercy, for Yahweh is a God of justice, and blessed are all those who wait for him. So we've got to wait for God, and he waits for us. And so God said, well, this is how you're behaving, but I will wait. In other words, I won't destroy you. I'll wait, because I want to be gracious to you. Now that's amazing, that he waits even when we're so far from him. He is so patient. Indeed, you who dwell in Zion and in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious will Yahweh be to you when you cry to him. As soon as he hears it, he will answer you. In other words, as soon as they pray in repentance, God is going to be right there, exactly like the Father in the parable of the prodigal son, that he was immediately waiting to hear them. And although Yahweh will give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction to drink, and your teachers cannot help you, you will finally hear behind you a voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. And then you will destroy your carved idols that you've covered with silver and gold, and you will throw them away like things that are disgusting. And God will then provide rain for your seed that you sow, and your cattle will graze, and your oxen and donkeys will eat fodder. And on every high mountain and every high hill, there will be canals running with water, And the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. The light of the sun will be seven times brighter, like the light of seven full days. So then what God's saying is that finally his kingdom is going to come. That's what's going to happen. His kingdom will come when they repent. And that is why we should be urging the people of Israel to repent now. It's why we, as God's new Israel, should be bringing forth fruit, spiritual fruit, so that then his kingdom really will come. And he's waiting so patiently for that day.